This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Welcome back to Respect the Dead, the podcast where we don't.
It's no surprise that everyone celebrated your demise, and now worms are eating your eyes. So don't you worry your rotting head as you sleep in your sodden bed. It's time to respect the dead.
You're listening to Respect the Dead. My name is Hoots.
I'm Kaylin.
And I'm Ailey Mandy.
All right. And just at the top of this episode today, I wanted to do a quick content warning. We are going to be discussing pretty extreme dieting, like bordering on eating disorders. And there is going to be some graphic discussion of child abuse. So if that's something that will upset you, go ahead and skip this episode.
Unless you're Mandy or I, in which case we have to sit here and listen to it.
Yeah,
we have to stay. I'm so excited, though. I'm so ready for this because we saw a picture of what she looks like already. So we're very intrigued. Mm-hmm.
You've seen the subject of this.
I do need to see the picture again. So,
all right, let's Google. Just Google some. The subject of this episode is Gwen Shamblin.
Gwen.
So I'm dragging like a freshly dead corpse through the mud, like warm. Like the 1 year anniversary of her death is coming up a week from today, the day we're recording. So she is. Yeah, this
fresh.
Corpse is still okay. Warm. This corpse has big hair. Drop it in the chat, Kaylin.
I'm hoping. So I just pulled up this photo. And what I'm hoping for these episode images is it's literally going to be a picture of the person. So these people can see what the fuck we're talking about, because this is something completely different than exists in nature. Like if I were to create like a horror movie with aliens that are trying to approximate what a human being looks like, it would be Gwen fucking Shamblin. And I know nothing about her other than Hoot sent us a photo in a group chat, and I lost my fucking mind.
So the photo that Kaylin just dropped in the chat right now kind of does look like, you know, Men in Black, like the guy who wears the human suit. Like, it kind of, like, her skin is kind of hanging off. Like, yeah, it's grim. There's a whole genre of diet books that are like, basically pray the weight away. There's The Maker's Diet by Jordan S. Rubens. There's The Divine Diet by Carol Lewis. There's one called The Bible Diet, and then there's a subheader that says supported by scientific facts.
Which one?
Which, yeah, right. Honey, you have to pick.
It's like, this is scientifically a diet.
From God.
There's one called Body by God, which is by an author called Dr. Ben Lerner. And I wrote in my notes, sounds fake.
Okay, I'm putting Body by God on my Tinder profile.
And one of my personal favorites is, what would Jesus eat?
You just made Kaylin do a spit take. It's our first spit take.
I spit on my cat.
Oh, little Goose.
I spit on my cat.
Poor Goose. Oh, no.
I'm sorry.
We got to keep that in, right? We're keeping that one in.
Oh, my God. Sorry. That read that one back to me one more time.
What would Jesus eat?
Like fish and wine, right? And bread, like
a lot of bread.
Yeah, I think so.
A lot of carbs.
So the subject The subject of today's episode, as I said, is Gwen Shamblin, who is the author of a diet book, diet seminar, diet, called The Way Down. Way, like W-E-I-G-H, The Way Down. So Gwen Shamblin Lara was born Gwen Henley on February 18th, 1955 in Memphis, Tennessee. So we're both water signs. I'm a Pisces. She's an Aquarius. She did her undergrad in dietetics and master's in food and nutrition with an emphasis in biochemistry at the University of Tennessee. So she does have a background in diet and nutrition. Mm-hmm. And according to Gwen, she did what a lot of us do, and she gained the freshman 15, and she struggled with her weight throughout college. I don't know like the extent of that weight struggle. Like I don't know how much weight we're talking about here. All the pictures I've seen of her have been like fairly thin and then very, very thin. Mm-hmm. But at some point during her master's, she developed what would become like the way down. So she married her husband, David Shamblin, in 1978. And she formed the Way Down Workshop in 1986, holding the first class in a mall in Memphis. And initially, classes were held in non-religious settings, but eventually she began hosting it at Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis. So the thing with the Way Down, it's kind of like what we would now call like intuitive eating or like just portion control. There's no restrictions and they don't tell you to exercise or anything. Like there's nothing that's off limits. They're just like, listen to your body, listen to your hunger and your fullness signals, like pretty normal, like not super problematic stuff initially.
Yeah, it sounds very similar to the intuitive eating kind of dieting.
Yeah, yeah,
which isn't so bad.
Yeah, which isn't so bad. Like,
yeah.
And the other element to it is because she's always been like a very religious woman, she adds like a little bit of like religious flair to it.
You're right. Listen to your body because God wants you to.
Exactly. She's saying like you one of her big things is saying like, I want you to stop bowing down to the fridge and start bowing down to God.
I will never stop bowing down to the fridge. The fridge, the air fryer.
My microwave.
Like, yeah, there's several appliances that I 100% like
bow down to. Yeah. Okay. So like intuitive eating and like just listening to your body is a pretty effective and like pretty like responsible, I would say, like weight loss method. Like it's easier to do than a lot of the crash diets, you know, just mm-hmm. being like, you know what, I'm gonna slow down, I'm gonna taste every meal. So it's wildly successful. A lot of people, you know, I'm gonna say some bad shit about this whole thing, and I disagree with a lot about the Way Down seminars, but like I can't deny that like some people say that it changed their lives, and as a result she becomes incredibly wealthy and powerful. Mm-hmm. By the summer of 1996, so 10 years after she like formed the first workshop, Way Down workshops were being hosted in over 5,000 churches, and by the summer of 1998 there were more than 250,000 participants worldwide. So she starts offering seminars as part of a series of video and audio tapes that are still available.
Oh my God.
On the Way
yes.
Down Diet YouTube channel.
Oh no. Kaylin's face.
I'm going to send you guys a link.
It's like Kaylin's at Christmas morning right now. The joy on their face.
I thought I was going to have to find these like on the dark web. Yes.
Oh no, she is all over YouTube, honey. Okay, I'm gonna send you a link. This is
okay, quick, before I forget.
Yes.
You said that these diets were this diet was shown to work. Like, what does that mean? Like, scientifically, like, was the study done? Does it work for a little while? And then,
yeah,
like, people say everything changed their life. So I'm just yeah. like,
a lot of people were found to not only lose weight, but keep it off. Because again,
for how long? Like, if you know, sorry,
I don't know. Yeah. And that's not
future Hoot can pop back in.
I don't even think that's something that future Hoots can pop back in because there's not like data on this. It's like, I will say that the vast majority of people who lose like more than 25 pounds, like 95% of them don't keep it off. If you're like within like 20, 25 pounds, there is a chance that you'll keep it off for life. And like early on, this diet wasn't really like, it wasn't really a diet. It was more like, I just want to like listen to my body a little bit more. So yeah, it's a lifestyle change, and it is possible to lose an amount of weight. Like, again, it's like a small amount of weight.
Yeah, no, and that makes sense. If you compare it to like veganism, like you're like eating with a different like set of like ideals. Like, I want to like savor my food, and I want to like not overstuff myself, and I don't want to starve myself.
Yeah.
Like that can seem very like holistic and natural. And I can see the appeal of like something like that versus something that seems gimmicky, like the grapefruit diet or whatever the fuck. Like,
totally. And this is like the middle of that era. This is like mid 80s, early 90s, when you're in the middle of like the low fat craze and the grapefruit diet. And so everything is crash diets that like, quote unquote, don't work for people because they can't stay on it for more than a week. Whereas like this is a woman that's just like, pray to God and also like slow down while you're eating, and people are like, wow, I lost like I lost like 30 pounds in 6 months. So at first, like, it's pretty reasonable. So I'm going to I dropped a YouTube link in the chat. It should start at like 312, I think, minute 312. This is one of her, this is like her introduction to her Way Down workshops. I just want you to see a little bit of vintage Gwen.
Okay.
Welcome to the Way Down Workshops home series called Way Down at Home. My name is Gwen Shamblin.
Oh my
fucking God. I will
be
your host for this 12-lesson journey away from the magnetic pull of the refrigerator that
magnetic pull of the refrigerator
on your mind and your heart. At the same time, it's a journey toward replacing this hold with the one who deserves all our attention, our genius creator and father, God Almighty. This will be a program unlike anything you have ever done, but in it you will find the truth. Years of restrictive dieting have only strengthened the chains of slavery to food.
Okay, I gotta stop there. She just said the chains of slavery to her food.
She looks like she's from Whoville.
Uh-huh.
She does.
Uh-huh. She's... So this is like when she still looks like a human being.
I beg to differ.
And so describe kind of like what did you guys what did you get from that? What were your vibes?
I'm getting 80s life guru Voldemort with a little bit of lipstick.
That's not too far off. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very
You never mentioned the accent.
The accent is so so good. It's so good.
I keep expecting her to also tell me about her Tupperware party or something in the middle of that mm-hmm. discussion about Ooh. The magnetic oh pull of the refrigerator.
I love the pool flex.
And her hair is so big.
I can see her roots.
Her hair is so big. And at this point, like, I watched that video and I'm like, oh, her hair looks so normal there, because I'm so used to seeing her later in her career where it just gets like out of fucking control. So she becomes wildly successful. She's like an overnight millionaire. She appears on like Tyra. She gets interviewed on like every news station. And for decades, she is considered like the Christian diet guru. And in some of her interviews, her opinions start coming out. In a 2008 Larry King interview, she said, quote, "How in the Holocaust did you have all these people getting down real skinny? They ate less food."
What?
And she was so proud of that particular interview that other people around her said that it was constantly playing on a loop in her living room on flat screen TVs. And she made a similar comment in a deposition for a wrongful termination lawsuit from one of her employees. She wrote, "When people were in prison camps and ate less food, they lost weight. All of them."
All of them.
Okay. There's so many things about this I need to break down. So, okay, first of all, just the fact that she said it, how in the Holocaust you lost weight.
She said it and she doubled down.
And then that she was playing it on a loop.
Well, because she meant it.
She saw no problem with that.
Oh my god. Okay. Honey, no.
Oh my god. That is.
I was not expecting Holocaust right out the gate. Really wasn't. I don't know what I was expecting, but.
I was not expecting her to be worse than like today's streamers.
I mean, she would call fucking Destiny fat. Like,
yeah, probably. Jesus. Oh my god.
Oh my fucking god.
So that's not enough for her though. And in 1999, she founds her own church, Remnant Fellowship Church. So guess who has tax-exempt status now?
No.
So following founding her own church, she, in a newsletter to her followers, she denies the Holy Trinity by saying that Jesus and the Holy Spirit are not on equal footing with God. And this kind of sets like a foundational part of her ministry. Like this positions herself as a prophet of God because she's like changing some foundational things about the church. So this causes a considerable backlash.
Yeah.
People start sending their copies of the Way Down book back. Her Christian publisher drops an upcoming book.
She got canceled.
She got seriously canceled.
She
like
did.
More than J.K. Rowling has ever been canceled.
Yeah.
The canceling of Gwen Shamblin.
Yeah.
So
when church people cancel you, they cancel you hard.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Sometimes they crucify you.
They sure do. The first cancellation. Jesus H. Christ.
She's getting crucified, honey.
I hear that one was murder.
Oh.
So churches drop her workshops. Some of her employees quit, but she just doubles down. Like she, I will say this for Gwen Shamblin. There are elements of this that definitely are a grift, but I do think she buys her own bullshit.
Sorry. Do you think that one of the reasons she separated like the Holy Spirit and Jesus from God and put God at an upper level so that she can be
Jesus,
like, almost on the same level as Jesus without claiming to be on the same level as God, which is blasphemy. Like, that seems like a little loophole there.
There's so many interviews with people who are like grilling her and are like, do you think you're a prophet? And she will always hesitate. And she'll go, I think the word of God is a gift and we should share that gift. Like she told
me. So like prophecy?
Because she thinks she's Jesus.
Like I'm not yeah. saying I'm a prophet. I'm just saying yeah. God has words he wants us to share, and I'm going to do that because I'm special.
Me specifically.
Yeah, very specifically me.
So she gets hit with a discrimination lawsuit by some of her remaining employees who say they were pressured to join Remnant Fellowship. So like it's already starting to get pretty culty. She's like, basically, you work for me at Way Down, and like as a condition of your employment, you are required to join my new religion.
Oh God. I look for a new job.
A lot of them do.
I'm gonna add that to my Patreon.
You're required to join Kalinism.
I know. It works just like that. Kalinism is perfect.
So she starts preaching that Christianity specifically is under attack by Christians who sin too much. And she starts pushing Remnant Fellowship as God's one true church.
Okay, so she pulled a Reverend Phelps.
She sure did. She sure did.
She was like, she's like, these Christians are filthy faggots.
Yeah, you know what? They would hate each other because they're in different churches, but they would get along on a number of issues.
Oh, yeah.
So in 2004, Gwen Shamblin purchases 40 acres of land in Brentwood, Tennessee, which is one of the wealthiest cities in Tennessee. The median household income, median, in Brentwood in 2017 was $151,722. And she builds a multi-million dollar church in Brentwood and purchases Ashlawn, which is described as a historic mansion from 1838, which I think means plantation, right? Like a historic mansion in Tennessee.
Yeah, that's a plantation.
Oof.
So Remnant Fellowship moves to Brentwood and also opens up a bunch of businesses, like in real estate, construction, financial planning, event planning, repair shops, et cetera, et cetera. Like basically any service you might need, and they start requiring that all Remnant members exclusively use those businesses. So all the money that they spend in Brentwood just goes right back into the church. Mm. And
so it's like a mining town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, spend it in the company store.
Yep.
Yeah, fuck off.
And the company store has tax exempt status.
I hate it.
garbage.
I hate it.
Clever, but
so clever. I mean, she is a boss bitch.
Girl
she
boss.
So yeah. Is a girl boss. So it keeps church members isolated from the rest of community in the community in Brentwood. And her initial plan was to have Remnant members also be exclusively employed by Remnant-owned businesses as well. But I don't think that it worked out that way. I believe that like Remnant members, there were like members of the church who worked in other businesses that weren't owned by the church. But there really was like an attempt to make people like mm-hmm. totally dependent on the church for everything, which is a cult tactic.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
It is a cult tactic, yeah.
Yeah. So Remnant grows more insular, and the emphasis on weight loss as an expression of godliness and purity really ramps up, specifically among women, obviously, who are encouraged to be thin and beautiful and well-dressed and subservient to their husbands. Like, aside from Gwen, though, like... David Shamblin is like almost never mentioned in all the pieces about Gwen because he's just like the quiet husband in the background. And Gwen is like a prophet of God.
It must be hard to be married to a prophet of God. Like, can't be easy.
Damn. I feel like you should pull a Jesus and just not be married and have 12 boyfriends and one girlfriend. Then.
Yeah. And just wander the desert like you do.
Mm-hmm.
David Shamblin.
Are you looking him up?
Is a mess. So my Chrome extension that tells you when somebody is transphobic popped up for the David Shamblin page.
Well, that's not surprising. I mean, he is married to Gwen Shamblin.
I don't know if it's because it's him or because the article is from thesun.co.uk. It could be either.
Yes.
I mean, like, there's a very recent, like, HBO documentary series, like a 5-episode series about Gwen Shamblin. And there is an episode where there was, like, a gay member of Remnant Church who, like, came out to her. And he was like, she didn't say anything. She just got up and walked out of the room.
Like, who are you? My mom?
She was just...
It's like, bye, girl.
Super homophobic.
David Shamblin is not cute, but it's like she doesn't deserve someone cute, so I'm not upset about
no.
it.
Oh, put a pin in that.
There's this one picture I just found of the two of them. I should probably should have looked it on the laptop so I could send the link. But they just look so. He looks like a wax figure next to her.
Oh, I see that photo. Oh my god. Okay, they both look.
It just does not look okay. Right. They look so awkward.
This is some Get Out nonsense.
Yeah, the one where he's like in the tux and she's and her hair's like 3 feet in the air. It's bad.
That is not David Shamblin.
Wait, what?
This is coming up later. No, that's not David Shamblin. That's husband number two.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Okay,
we're jumping ahead.
David Shamblin is like in the background. Mm-hmm. Like there is some footage of him in the like HBO documentary, but he's like barely around. I'm sure he believes all the same things she does. All right. So anyway, Remnant women are expected to maintain a 2-pound per week weight loss. Mm-hmm. And if they fall short of that, they are instructed to fast. One woman who left the church claims in the HBO documentary that at one point she was pressured by the church into a diet of 10 bites a day in order to lose 4 pounds a week.
What the literal fuck?
10 bites a day.
Like nothing should ever be measured in bites.
She now claims to suffer permanent kidney damage.
That doesn't surprise me. It's considered very dangerous to lose anything more than 2 pounds a week. Mm-hmm. And even 2 pounds is kind of like pushing it.
Yeah. Isn't 2 pounds like the upper limit?
Yeah, it is. Like it'd be better to lose like 1 pound or like 0.5 pound a week.
Like, I could see, like, in the first week or the first 2 weeks or whatever, there's, like, water weight or whatever. Like, you can, like, fluctuate a lot or whatever. Like, like, when I get, like, a stomach bug or whatever, I'll, like, lose 8 pounds in, like, 4 days. And then, like, 3 days later, it'll all be back. Like, but like, 2 pounds every week?
Forever.
Or you have to fast? But what happens when you're like 0 pounds?
They don't have a plan for that. She said she was on a diet of 10 bites a day for a period of time to lose 4 pounds a week, and then after that she was instructed to fast every other month.
Okay, but until what?
Don't know.
Until she drops dead.
Okay, there's 52.
They want you to get as thin as possible. Okay. They don't care. It's
but so... that's like 100 and
I don't think there's a lower limit.
Yep.
But that's 104 pounds a year. So in 2 years, you would just disappear.
Eventually, you'd just be a negative person.
This is what I'm worried about. I'm like, at what point are you like just a,
it's almost,
a skeleton?
Yeah, it's almost like the opposite of like the infinite growth of capitalism not being sustainable. It's the opposite problem, like infinite loss. Like you can't do that.
Like this is problematic for a lot of reasons, but now I'm just like, this is just not.
Yeah.
It's just not something you could keep up. Like what's.
Right. It's not realistic.
Okay. Okay, I'll stop wondering why it doesn't make sense, because it just doesn't make sense. Like I'm trying to make logic out of like a crazy woman's cult.
Again, they are saying you need to lose 4 pounds a week to prove that you're godly. Oh,
4 pounds a week.
So most women are expected to lose 2 pounds a week. This particular woman, they were like, to prove that you are godly and pure, you need to lose about 4 pounds a week. They weighed her in and they were like, you need to lose more.
So to be more godly, you have to be like, God made me wrong. Okay, gotcha.
God didn't make fatties.
God didn't make fatties, according to Gwen Shamblin. Mm-hmm. Another woman claims to have permanent metabolic issues resulting from the diet. And yet another woman whose mom had started way down when she was only 14 was offered track scholarships to colleges all over the place, like full rides to Ivy League colleges. And the church pressured her to go to a small school in Nashville so she'd stay close to the church. And she had track scholarships to that as well. She was doing track. She was attending school for the first time, and she was still required to starve herself
while running fucking track.
Jesus.
While she was running track every day.
It's so dangerous.
So she dropped out.
I'll go to the like corner store without having like a little morning snack, and I'm like ready to pass out. Oh, I can feel my blood sugar sinking because like I haven't had my like a bowl of cereal or whatever
in
like,
2 hours.
I can't.
Yeah.
Like I'm sorry, but running fucking track
on an empty stomach.
Oh my god, I think I hate Gwen. I know we're on episode 3 right now, but I think I hate Gwen more than
the most.
I hated Fred Phelps or like Sassy McPetty from the last episode.
Sassy McPetty. He was very petty. He was least entertaining petty. This is mostly just sad.
Yeah, this is just like ugly.
This is a real bitch.
This is just shitty. Yeah. Screw you, Gwen.
So technically, like in every sense of the word, Gwen is the highest authority in the church. She doesn't position herself as that. But all of the other church leaders are men, and she would claim to be accountable to the men because women are supposed to be subservient to men. But she was obviously the one that was in charge, and she wasn't accountable to anybody. And the male leaders of the church were also men who had lost a certain amount of weight and maintained the weight loss for a certain amount of time, because weight loss was considered by the church to be a sign of purity. So if you lose a certain amount of weight, if you keep it off for a certain amount of time, you are considered acceptable by God and you are getting into heaven. Like they literally would tell their members, like, you are too fat to go to heaven. And in fact, Ted Enger, one of the male leaders of the church, would tell women that they can't go to heaven if they were too fat.
Okay.
And he would pick out the members of the church that he was like, you're not going to heaven because you're fat.
They're really trying to make fat the new gay. Like – it's just like
really
it's like
there's,
it's like conversion therapy. Like
yeah,
it's like you're not going to have
pray the fat away.
Yeah, like you're not going to heaven unless you stop being like this. Like Jesus Christ.
It's just so wild to me, the idea that you would get to the pearly gates and the very first thing you would see is a fucking scale that you have to step on. It's like, you have to be this amount of weight or else you can't come into heaven. Like, what the fuck?
It's not like they weigh like the like good deeds versus the bad deeds that you've done in your life. You like get to heaven and you see the scale and they're like, oh no, this is your good deeds. And then you step on the other side, get on, bitch. And it's like, oh no, you actually outweigh all the good you did on this earth.
God's got a Tinder profile that says no fatties.
God has a Tinder profile that says no fatties. Meanwhile, Satan's like, sit on my face. I'm into it.
Satan is like, thick thighs save lives.
Yeah. If you kill me, all the better.
So this is the part where it's a little bit grifty. Remnant members were required to take weigh down seminars, which they would need to purchase at retail cost.
Not at retail. This is the worst. I love.
Of course.
That like.
I wrote lol in my notes.
like they couldn't even use a coupon code. Like so pathetic.
No, like, enter Remnant at checkout. Remnant 30.
Like enter Shamblin at checkout.
During this time, Gwen grows very, very thin, and her hair also grows taller and taller.
Do you think it was to hide the fact that her hair was thinning?
Possibly, because she was so thin.
So she like tried to make it bigger. Yeah. And yeah, like her hair, like 100%. There is no way this girl was not climbing that skeleton into the shower and pulling out chunks of fucking hair like she was in The Craft.
No way.
This woman. This woman's blood was like transparent. I can guarantee you her bones were hollow.
Again, in that first like video that I sent you guys, I do think she looks thin, but she looks like a normal
she looks
thin
like grandma
person.
Thin though.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's in, not so bad there.
In the later photos, she is gaunt. She is a stick. And like she does look like her skin is falling off of the bone.
Yeah.
She has a neck that's like more tendony and veiny than like a dick. She has a dick vein neck.
No, not the dick vein neck. You gotta get retinol for that.
Gwen, dick vein neck Shamblin.
So, fun fact, according to the women who did her hair, it was all real. She would spend hours coloring and straightening and teasing it. And she'd do it for free because Gwen Shamblin did some shady business stuff.
Oh my God.
One former member recalled Gwen asking her to leave her job to come work for the church and offering to match her previous position's pay of like around $21, $22 an hour. But when she got her paycheck, it was $8 an hour. And she went to Gwen and she was like, hey, why wasn't my paycheck matched to the job I left to come here? And Gwen like chewed her out and she was like, you need to humble yourself and never ever expect a raise from me.
Wow.
This woman lives in a plantation.
not this woman with 10-foot hair telling this woman to humble herself. It's like, do you want somebody to
the prophet of God.
Okay.
The hair drives me crazy.
No.
So I'm from the South and I'm used to church ladies having big hair, but like Gwen Shamblin's hair is something else. It's like scene girl hair that's too big.
It is.
It is just as bleached as scene girl hair too. I'm like, not Gwen Boxed Eye Shamblin coming over here to tell us who needs to be humble.
Gwen Boxed.
Not like, oh, what is it? Blondissima, like Feria Blondissima or whatever the fuck it was at the drugstore. Like,
okay.
No.
We're not okay, but.
All right. So another major tenet of the church, aside from thinness, was making your children obedient.
Oh, man.
And allegedly, corporal punishment was heavily promoted within Remnant. Yeah, this next part this next part is real bad. Everybody, I'm really sorry.
Okay, did you want me to point out her hands before or after this?
Point out her hands now because it's about to get real sad for a second.
okay, go back to the URL of her with her second husband and just look at the bottom left hand.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
It looks like she's been through a rotisserie.
She looks like a corpse.
Oof. So uncomfortable.
Oh.
Okay, I'm sorry. I saw it and I couldn't not bring it up. I'll post a picture of her hand at respectthedead.live.
Just the hand.
Just like, just a hand.
A Patreon tier that's just like Gwen Shamblin's withered hand.
I'm just imagining it now like a monkey paw. Again?
Kaylin just spit.
So I spit it in my other glass because I brought two drinks for this one because I knew from her hair that I'd need it. Oh, my cheeks hurt. Okay. This is about to get fucked up, right?
Well, yeah, I'm going to fix your cheeks for a second.
Jesus. Okay. Okay. Let's get to the sad bit.
So in 2003, two members of the church, Joseph and Sonia Smith, were arrested for the murder of their 8-year-old son, Joseph. Medical examiners concluded that Joseph's cause of death was blunt force trauma and asphyxiation as the result of, quote, acute and chronic abuse. Joseph's brother, Michael, testified that Joseph was misbehaving and their parents instructed Michael to put Joseph in a wooden chest, which he tied closed with an extension cord because, quote, Joseph kept popping his head up. Michael said that his brother was screaming and hurling insults and obscenities at him, but after about 10 or 15 minutes, he stopped yelling and Michael cut the extension cord to find him unresponsive.
Jesus.
Michael said that their parents would discipline Joseph by beating him with glue sticks. The glue stick thing apparently was like very common at Remnant. Not little glue sticks, but like a foot long, like those, like glue sticks. I don't know how to
Glue gun?
No, like the sticks that's like craft glue. But you can get like foot long ones. Maybe they don't have them in Canada. We would use them for crafts and school.
Not me like Googling foot long glue stick right now.
Apparently like a lot of Remnant Fellowship like parents would beat their kids with these like foot long glue sticks, which is weird to me.
Yeah.
As well so Joseph was beaten by a glue stick, as well as belts and heated coat hangers.
Oh, Jesus.
What the fuck?
That's fucked up.
Yeah. And they would lock him in confined spaces for extended periods of time with his hands tied.
Okay, this is like...
8 years old.
Oh, my fucking God. There is like... There's sometimes people will be like, this is abuse. And other people will be like, that's just like a kid getting spanked because they were doing something ridiculous. And while I don't agree with that, and I still think that's like fucked up and abuse, this is like,
this is like horror movie. Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
this is horrible. Like when you take the time to heat a fucking coat hanger
to beat your child with,
like that is the moment that you should be like, what am I doing?
Because like just beating a child with a coat hanger would be bad enough on its own.
Okay, but a coat hanger? Like what the literal fuck?
That's so fucked up. Poor kid.
And then like, what are you wearing, an oven mitt? Like, is it not hot in your hand? Like the whole thing around it just sounds like there's so much preparation and planning in it that it's almost like
it's so deliberate.
The kid is going to like be watching that happen.
Mm-hmm. It's torture.
Like there's like a theatricality to it. Like this whole like thing where it's like you're putting this child through like watching you do this. Like I can't remember where it's from, but like I remember hearing somebody say that like their parent made them pick the belt. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That they were going to use.
Heard
like,
that. Yeah.
Like stuff like that. Like it's that, it's like the fear.
Oh yeah. I knew a lot of kids.
Oh my God. Okay.
Where that happened. So there's a lot about this case that's like, I mean, obviously there's the stuff that's like patently like shady, like that. There's also like 11 weeks before Joseph died, they had the same family had an infant that died, and the cause of death was SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome, which kind of just means that there is no cause.
Yeah.
Allegedly, like Joseph did have like a lot of behavioral problems. Like he would hide a knife and he would say he was going to kill the baby. But it's like his parents were torturing him.
Right.
Of course, yeah, he was like, having like violent fantasies.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all he knew.
And his parents were like making his older brother torture him. And that's like, that's how he died. His parents were like, lock your little brother in a fucking chest.
It's horrible.
So the Smiths lived in Atlanta. They didn't live in Brentwood, but the Remnant Fellowship compound in Brentwood ended up getting raided by authorities as part of their investigation into the murders. Because in multiple interviews, Gwen Shamblin and other church leaders confirmed that they promote corporal punishment. In interviews after the arrests, they said that they don't promote like violent beatings. But she did say like the glue stick thing was totally fine. She was like, I don't have a problem with that.
I don't promote violent beatings, but I do beat my children with weapons.
Yeah, literally. Yeah.
Like,
and there are audio tapes of like her talking to Sonia on her radio show. Like Sonia would call in and be like, my son Joseph is causing problems. Like, and what should I do? And Gwen was like, spank him and make it count.
Wow.
So former members have claimed that Gwen made statements in the past about how a spanking needs to hurt to be memorable. She was like, spank your child until they cry. If they don't cry, then you didn't spank them hard enough. And there have been lots of claims of mental and emotional abuse at the hands of the church from former members, including claims that a number of kids who grew up within the church would then go on to commit suicide, obviously. So the Smiths were sentenced to life plus 30 years in prison for the death of Joseph.
Good.
Remnant Fellowship continues to support them and maintains the SmithsAreInnocent.com website to the Smiths, which claims...
Gross.
They claim that Joseph died of a bacterial infection from scratching his eczema.
Wow.
And they were like, the bruises that were covering, the contusions all over his body when he was taken in, they were like, that's just, he had eczema and he was scratching it like he wasn't supposed to. And that's why he died.
It's not even a good lie.
Oh, it sucks so hard.
It's so bad.
Like, say he fell down the stairs.
Right?
Like, why are you, like, not eczema, anything but eczema. She's not even psoriasis. Like,
yeah.
She's like psoriasis, like, pretty sister who's, like, pretty chill and, like, yes, she's a little scaly in the summer, but, like, other than that, she's fine. Like, people don't, like, fucking die. Like, I guess. Wait, what year was this?
2003 was when they were arrested.
Oh, yeah, fuck off. They had, I'm like, if your baby had eczema or, like, your 8-year-old had eczema, like, 2003, like, go to fucking CVS.
Yeah, get some hydrocortisone.
Like, get, like, a topical, like, corticosteroid care. Yes. I'm like, right. You should be fine. And, like, also, if your child gets a bacterial infection from scratching themselves, that's when you would take them to the doctor. And then...
Right. And they are, like, there is nothing that I've heard, at least, in their, like, religion that isn't, like, oh, you shouldn't intervene. Yeah, you shouldn't intervene with doctors. Like, I think, is it Jehovah's Witness that don't intervene? I could be slandering them. There's a few that are, like, it's God's will. Yeah. That's not these guys.
They're fine. Yeah. They're not listening to this.
Yeah, Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't allow blood transfusions. I think they can go to the hospital for other reasons, but they have to be very careful with what it is. And then there's, like, Christian Scientists, I think, are the ones who, like, don't do any medical interventions. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yes. The Christian Science, the Church of Christian Science or whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah,
is, like,
they won't do anything.
Fully against anything to do with science.
Right.
Okay, so that was all really gross. Let's talk about her fuckboy second husband now.
Yes. The wax figurine that we saw earlier.
Okay.
So his name is Joe Laura, or Lara. L-A-R-A. Laura, Lara. So he was an actor in some made-for-TV movies and things. I'm going to send you another link to watch. We don't have to put this in.
I'm getting Tarzan vibes.
He played Tarzan in Manhattan.
Oh my God, wait.
I'm literally going to send you a trailer for Tarzan in Manhattan.
No.
Oh my God, okay.
What year did this come out?
1989.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this man let me understand some things about myself. Hello.
He's very pretty. I'll give him that.
Like 100% himbo vibes. Like jungle himbo vibes.
It's very like Brandon Fraser in George of the Jungle, but serious.
Ugh, I've never wished I was an elephant before.
Oh. Monkeys.
Not them doing like monkey sounds over monkeys that are clearly not making sounds.
Oh no, the monkey in the gorilla suit is dead. The
fist. Oh my god. Put on some clothes, you pervert.
Well, that was a thing I just watched.
I want a poster of him in my room.
He is very pretty.
He's totally poster material. Yeah, he's a very handsome man and was his entire life. So
he's too pretty for a fucking Chamblin.
He's too pretty to have a job either, which he never really wanted his whole life. He quit acting in 2002, and he and his then-girlfriend, actress and former Miss Yugoslavia, Natasha Pavlovich, moved to Nashville in 2010 so that he could pursue a country music career. So 2010 was the same year Natasha gave birth to their daughter, whose name I will not use because she was and still is a minor in all of this, and she deserves privacy.
Yeah.
Natasha made a deal with Joe that he had until their daughter started kindergarten to make the music career happen. But if he wasn't a big country music star by 2015, they would move to Chicago where they could be near her family and where they could both get jobs. So 2015 rolled around, and not only did he refuse to move and said he didn't want to get a job, but he also filed a false police report claiming that Natasha sexually abused their daughter to try to get complete custody of her. So they break up, and they get into a huge custody battle. Meanwhile, Joe Lara meets Gwen Chamblin while working for a home repair company involved with Remnant Church. So Gwen had quite a few sermons that railed against divorce as a concept. And it was like, you know, if you get divorced, you are not seeing the kingdom of heaven. Mm-hmm. But she very quickly files for divorce against her husband, marries Joe Lara.
Look, when Tarzan shows up.
Tarzan shows up and he wants a sugar mama. Yeah. Allegedly, Joe had a history of dating women who could support him financially. And I mean, Natasha was that for him too.
As is his right.
Yeah. And specifically support him having a certain lifestyle. He was used to the finer things in life. And Joe was very happy being Gwen's sugar baby. And Remnant Fellowship granted him access to a recording studio to record his bad country songs in. Unlimited money. Private jets for him to fly. He had a pilot's license and access to legal counsel in his custody battle. So Remnant Fellowship lawyers have stepped in cases where a person with children tries to leave the church and their spouse remains in the church to make sure that the church still has control of those kids. Yeah. And the lawyers even advise Remnant members to leave instructions in their wills that the church is to decide what to do with their children if they die.
Ew.
Oh.
Yeah. So you don't leave them with grandma. You're like...
No, you leave them with the church.
The church gets to decide where they go.
Fuck off.
Creepy.
So Gwen wants Joe Lara to keep this kid. She wants the kid as part of the church. Also, like, if you want to do side homework, Joe and Gwen also have a YouTube channel that was like Life with Joe and Gwen, where they they tried to sell like a reality show to a bunch of networks, and the networks were like, "No, this is weird." So they just made their own because they have unlimited money, which more power to them.
No, this is weird.
So Natasha gets embroiled in this like several years long custody battle with Joe Lara and Remnant Fellowship, and after she sinks over $200,000 in legal representation, she finally goes, fuck it, I'm just going to represent myself. So she fires her lawyers and begins legit working her, like, between working her four jobs to stay alive, she studies Tennessee family law and represents herself in court. Natasha reports being followed around town by vehicles that she suspects are cult members, and her mother, Joanna Lentz, expresses her fear that Remnant is, like, legit planning on, like, fucking murking Natasha. She, like, wow, there's audio of her, like, crying, because she's like, they're a cult, they're gonna kill you. So, Remnant Fellowship files a limine, which is a request to the judge, that Remnant Fellowship can't be mentioned at all in the custody case due to freedom of religion.
What the fuck?
Even though that's, like, an important part of the reason she wants custody of her child, because her husband's trying to recruit her to a cult.
Right. Yeah. It's kind of important information.
Yeah. And after an 8.5-day trial in December of 2020, the judge rules that Lara and Pavlovich will continue to share 50-50 custody, and Natasha immediately files an appeal. Mm-hmm. And there's audio in the HBO documentary of Joe Lara's lawyer calling Natasha to attempt to settle out of court. And he basically tells her, like, I've never seen, like, a non-lawyer perform as well as you did in court, and that kind of thing. But 5 months later, on May 29th, 2021, Gwen Shamblin and five other Remnant Fellowship members boarded a Cessna Citation One business jet Joe Lara was piloting to a MAGA event in Florida. And the good Lord smacked that plane right out of the sky and into a lake in Smyrna, Georgia.
Of course.
Killing everyone aboard and granting Natasha Pavlovich sole custody of her 11-year-old daughter.
Okay, wait. I'm sorry. Okay, do we know? Okay, vibes. Are we talking a dead on impact? Are we talking parachuted out and smashed on the ground?
According to the authorities, everybody died on impact. Everybody died immediately on impact. Okay. Because the lake was like 4 feet deep.
She was a puddle.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Lake adjacent.
So Natasha Pavlovich gets sole custody.
I love it.
Good for Natasha.
Good for Natasha. She honestly,
I'm happy for Natasha.
She rules. I love her so much. I wish her well.
No, she's great. She's
Did
great.
They recover Gwen's body?
I think they recovered Chunk.
Okay.
Again, everybody died on impact. The reports that I've seen have said it's assumed that Joe Lara was piloting the vehicle. They don't know that he was, which I think means everybody was, like, liquefied on impact. Because they didn't find him sitting in his little pilot seat, you know?
Jesus. All right. They're just like a little pilot hat sitting there.
Was there fish in the lake?
I don't know. I don't know if fish ate her eyes.
Because I want to know what I really wanted to know if fish ate her
if
eyes.
They did. It was eye soup.
I'm like, maybe the worms ate her eyes and then the fish ate the worms. Aww, like circle of life. It's like the worm eats the eyes, the fish eats the worm.
So Gwen's incredibly skinny daughter, Elizabeth, is now the de facto leader of Remnant. And in her will, Gwen Shamblin didn't leave a goddamn penny of her multi-million-dollar estate to Remnant Fellowship. Not a fucking thing.
She left nothing to the church?
Nothing to the church.
She took.
And that's the story of Gwen Shamblin.
Okay, number one, I can't believe they trusted that beautiful man with not a single thought in his head to fly a fucking plane. Like, I would not even trust that man to put on a condom. Like, it's like, let me check to make sure it's on there properly, because
he looks like the... He looks like the kind of guy you would have to say, put your arms up as you're trying to help take his shirt off or something. Like, you'd have to direct him.
Like, he's the kind of guy that you would hear muttering the little, like, bunny hops over here as they're tying their shoes.
He does have that look, doesn't he?
And he flew them into a puddle.
Ooh.
What is the lake called?
It was, I've got this somewhere. not in my notes. Percy Priest Lake near Smyrna, Georgia.
Okay. Smyrna.
Smyrna. All right. Oh, this lake is not very deep.
No.
Where I want to see the fucking plane.
There's definitely wreckage.
I'm not seeing wreckage. Oh, it's a little plane.
Yeah. It's a private jet.
It's like
a little tiny guy.
It doesn't even look like a jet. It looks like a fucking, like a shitty little plane. Like it looks like a crop duster. Maybe that's not supposed to be the real plane. Oh, okay. I see it now. It's like,
oh yeah. It's a really little plane.
A really tiny little jet. She only has like three little windows on the side.
It's called a Cessna Citation One, and it's classified as a business jet.
I'm crying. Do you think that he tried to land in the lake so that they would live, but he was too stupid to realize that, like, if you like nosedive into a lake, you're gonna fucking die?
I hope so.
Because I'm looking at this lake, and she is not large. Like, that is. Like, I really feel like he must have been like, okay, we're gonna land here. But land is
like literally in the months before his death, like Natasha had said several times that like another one of the reasons she didn't want her daughter in his care is because she was like, he always flies a plane and he doesn't want to fly a plane.
Why
he did
would
have
she
his
get
pilot's license, but she was like, you
why
can't
would
put my daughter
on
in that fucking plane.
And she was correct.
And they're like, it's she, the daughter was in, was with him at the time. Like, the daughter was like not with her mom. So, like, there is like heartbreaking, like 911 calls where the mom is trying to figure out if the daughter was on the plane. Oh. The daughter was not. The daughter's totally safe and like is now in her mother's care.
Yeah.
But like, it was, there were like a good, like, 24 or 48 hours where like Natasha was like, oh god, I hope that they didn't take her.
That's super fucked up.
Yeah, that must have been terrifying.
But then like very chill after, when you're like, oh my god, my daughter's alive and all these fuckers are dead. And then everyone in the church is like, oh, so do we leave now? Because I can't stand up. Has anyone else stood up in the past few years? Because every time I've tried, I've just passed out.
Like, I just get really dizzy and see black spots.
They cannot get upstairs.
Not all of them, like, wandering out into the sun like a bunch of fucking, like, zombies. Just like, Wow. I did not expect it to end in a fiery plane crash.
So good.
I know. I hoped it would deep in my heart, but yeah.
It's karma. It's karma. It like the ending makes me feel so good. I love thinking about God just like extending his righteous hand and whacking that fucking plane out of the sky.
Yep.
Like I'm picturing it like the way somebody slaps somebody's hand when they go to take their food without asking. Like, just like a very, like, instinctual, like, nope, bop.
The way you slap a mosquito that lands on your hand, yes. Your leg. Just kind of like, oh, get out of here.
I will see you in fucking hell.
And I have to reiterate, they were on their way to do a speech at a MAGA rally.
Oh, my God. It was a speech, too? I thought they were just going to, like,
she was gonna
just to hang out and have fun.
Oh, she was going to speak. She planned to talk about losing weight for the Lord Jesus. And, oh, wait, not Jesus. No.
God.
She doesn't like
for,
Jesus.
For the Lord,
God.
Lord.
She's the new Jesus. That's it. For the Lord, Lord. For the righteous Lord.
Was Trump going to be there?
I'm sure. He lives in Florida.
Okay. When you're editing this, if you can find, like, a thing of, like, Trump being, like, praying that everybody was fine, that would be amazing.
I'm gonna see if I can find any kind of like Trump and Gwen Shamblin material to go out on.
I would love to hear him say that they lost a wonderful woman and then hear him mispronounce her name.
Jen Shamblin.
Hey, this is editing Amanda here. I couldn't find any videos of Donald Trump eulogizing Gwen Shamblin and fucking up her name, but I'll make sure to include some images of the rally she was headed to in the show notes.
Also, Shamblin is like not a good name.
It's got sham in it.
It sounds like a verb, and it doesn't sound like a good verb.
Yeah.
Like it sounds like
shambling.
Like walking.
Like a corpse.
Yeah, no, like
or like a woman who hasn't eaten in a long time.
Yes, like, exactly. She was so thin. She couldn't walk like, properly. She just shambling along. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, there's nothing fit about this. Like this no. I'm getting sewer vibes.
Don't get the shamblins. It's bad for you.
Oh no, not the shamblins.
I think it's probably time for us to shamble on out of this podcast. Yeah, probably.
I will aim this plane towards this gorgeous little lake. Well, thank you for that. Of course. That was so incredibly fucked up.
That was I had never heard of her before. Thank you for sharing. That was horrible, but great.
She's a goddess. And I completely like I've mentioned the HBO documentary several times. I totally recommend going and watching. It's like 5 episodes. And the whole thing with that is they basically filmed the whole thing before she died, and then she died, and suddenly a whole bunch of people that they asked to do interviews were like and rejected them were like, now I'm ready to talk. Because that bitch is dead.
I love it.
Now that she's gone.
I love that so much.
Let me sign your waiver. I'm ready.
Seriously, like a ding dong. The witch is dead.
I'm so into it.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Respect the Dead. You can follow Respect the Dead on Instagram and Twitter @_respectthedead.
If you want to follow us individually, you can find our socials in the show notes. And you should check out our YouTube channels. We don't shit on dead people there as often, but still, we're making tons of cool stuff.
If you enjoyed Respect the Dead and would like to support us, there's a couple of ways to do that.
You can give us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you found us. Give us at least 5 stars and then share us with a good friend who likes venting about dead people.
You can also give us some money over on our Patreon. Patreon supporters get some cool bonus content like bloopers from the cutting room floor and even coming up with a fake sponsor ad that we'll read in an episode. It has to be a fake business though, not your MLM, honey.
Thanks so much for listening. Join us every Monday for our next Worm Feast.
I'm Kellen Conrad.
I'm Ainley Mandy.
And I'm Hoots. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.